Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders. If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
Are live at our normal time in our normal studio. Welcome to 2019, everybody. This is part of the problem. Tulsi Gabbard running for president. Big deal, big story. Let's get into it. Bernie Sanders, why do I look so goddamn green all of a sudden? Shit, I was looking forward to looking good. No, maybe it's just this monitor. All right, cool. I look great.
Cheap-ass
fucking monitors. Oh, yeah, it's a TDL. That's the good stuff right there. All right.
I look the same because I've been here the whole time. I was green screening that apartment.
You look better.
I do.
I don't know what it is.
Well, my face doesn't, but these arms.
Yeah, there we go. Jacked, Robbie the Fire. All right. It's fucking nice to be doing these studio shows again, man. Last one was a great show, too.
I had fun.
Yeah. I think we got an energy about us. This is it. We're fucking, it's the next chapter and part of the problem. We're blowing the fuck up.
Showing up to work.
Sure. Part of the problem three. This time we show up. Who knows what can happen? All right. Well, there's a video going around. I wanted to start with this. Oh, I didn't say, I'm Dave and he's Robbie. Yeah. You know, we always do fucking COVID Jesus, Libertarian Tupac.
It's nice to meet you guys.
So there's this video going around, and we have a couple times. A lot of people are commenting on it. Obviously, we all and everybody who listens to this show probably are the types who would find it really interesting. But with the Sarah Silverman video, and we've responded to, I think, two Sarah Silverman videos in the past, being critical of her take. Although I always do preface by saying I was a real fan of old school Sarah Silverman.
She's
pissed at me I don't care for your new stuff. Anyway, I was a big fan of old school Sarah Silverman. I always thought she was very funny. a great, rest in peace, Norm MacDonald. Do you remember that? That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
The diarrhea story?
No. It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard him say. I think he was on some radio show. Might have been Stern. I don't remember. But he goes, Sarah Silverman. I mean, she's fantastic. She's just so funny. I mean, who's funnier than Sarah Silverman besides every dude? great. Rest in peace, Norm MacDonald. So she made this video on a topic that I have been talking about for years at this point. I mean, well over a decade I've been talking about this publicly, and I've talked about this on cable news shows and off air, also just to a lot of like pundits and cable news, and kind of made this case that I do think a national divorce is probably the most reasonable option for the United States of America right now. But what's really interesting about this clip is that you have somebody who's, you know, a Hollywood progressive type who's just thinking about these ideas. And to give her credit, she's trying to think this through logically. The idea has popped in her mind. And now she's almost like, well, why wouldn't this be the correct thing? And you get to kind of watch her think out loud about it. So let's play that clip and then let's talk about it a little bit.
I mean, this may be a negative thought, but or maybe a positive one. I don't know. But if people aren't getting along, like in relationship, they break up, you know? So like, why don't we just finally just realize that these states aren't working and like divide up into like two or three countries of like USA 1 and USA 2. And they can be USA 1. Like the conservatives can be USA 1 because they love being number one and it means something to them. And I'd love to have that be theirs. They can be USA 1, we'll be USA 2, and we'll be allies. And you'll come over here and we'll go over there. And, you know, when you come to certain, many times when you go to a different country, you have to get a vaccine. That's it. By the end of the question, by the end of my answer, I have no idea what the question was. I don't think I'm anywhere near it. Click on the link in my...
You don't have to click on that link. The point is that I thought that was just an interesting moment. And what's even more interesting is how viral it went. Just on that, just on like, I think less than a minute of Sarah Silverman just pondering why on earth we're a country. And isn't that in itself just something? That someone, you're a part of a nation, and someone throws out the question, why? Very basic question that any nation should be able to answer. Why? Why are we one nation? Don't you have something for that? I mean, if you were to ask anyone, you know, if you were to say, like, why is Italy, Italy, and France, France? I mean, I'm sure they'd have some type of answer for you. The one that comes to mind quickest is, like, we speak Italian, and they speak French. There's probably a lot more. I don't know. They have their cheese with their bread, and we have our pasta with our sauce or whatever the hell. I don't know a lot about the world. The point is they have an answer, I think. But it's really something to throw that out there, and right away you're going to see that there's really – I don't know that anyone could come up with a reason other than it's America. But what is America these days? Sure as hell ain't the same thing it was when I was a kid. And why is it if we've gotten to this point? Like, look, you could say that we've always had many different cultures. Like when I was a kid, it's not as if, you know, Brooklyn and Hawaii had the same culture. They're very different. But
Hawaii didn't complain about Brooklyn's culture back then.
Yeah, Hawaii shut the fuck up and stayed where it's supposed to be, in the middle of the ocean. Sorry, Hawaii. I really have nothing against them. They're not really part of this problem. But you get my point, right? That it's like, oh, there's all these different cultures, but I don't know, we're joined together by this thing. We all kind of, to some degree, believe in it. And that's kind of it. And sometimes there is power in just believing in something. And there's, you know, like if you think about something like a company, right? Like Gas Digital, this company that we're at. We're all kind of here. We're voluntarily participating in it. And yeah, okay, there is a legal piece of paper that says we're an incorporated company, but that really has very little to do with why Gas Digital should stay together and not break up. It's kind of what it's really about is that we all buy into it. We all believe in it. We all believe, yeah, we're a part of this network and I want to do this part in it for this reward or whatever. You can have all of these different cultures if there is just kind of this belief that, well, it's because we're America and we at least have like a few things that we believe in that we really did when I was a kid, like on a very deep rooted level. We all believed, at least in abstraction, it's a free country. That was kind of an idea. You know, I don't know why I use this example all the time, but just like, wait, if you come into a bar and you'd be like, you mind if I sit here? And be like, it's a free country. You know, it's just kind of a thing. You said, like, it's a free country. That was just in a... Now, they didn't really mean freedom in the pure Rothbardian sense that we might want it to be free. You're like, yeah, well, did you need a liquor license before you open this bar? You ain't free. But, you know, kind of felt like people could say what they wanted to say. You could, you know, there was some belief in that. It's all gone now. And it's one thing to say, oh, we have these different cultures. That's okay. You could have different cultures and still be part of one nation. But if those cultures hate each other's guts, like one side thinks that the other side are like Nazis or pretty damn close to it, if not that. That side wants the other side to, I mean, you know, we've talked about before on the show, like what really would be supported to be done to unvaccinated people? And whew, there's a lot. There's a lot that they would support. Certainly tens of millions of Americans would support your livelihood being ruined, your freedom to travel being restricted. Clearly, right? Like in these big cities, right? That's literally happening as we speak. And the other side sure as hell doesn't not resent it. And they're not, it's not like red state America is too happy with any of the liberal states. So what's the argument for why they should be together? You know, there's something that we, I think in many ways take for granted that is just kind of, it's taken as a given that like after say 9/11, when New York City is attacked, that some country boy from Kansas will go and fight and die in the Middle East over New York City being attacked. Now, I know they weren't fighting the people who attacked them and they were all just bankers' wars and all of that, but I'm just saying in that kid's mind, they weren't. In his mind, he was going to fight because someone attacked America. And downtown Manhattan might be crazy different than Kansas, where I'm from, but that's America. And you attacked America. We take that as kind of a given. We're one country. But that's not a given. This is a very big country. Most are not this big. Why do we have to be one? Why is it better for us to be one? Why? You know, people are, a lot of people, I think, are really sick of the culture war shit. Just sick of it. I mean, I guess everyone, I'm probably no exception to this, get off on it to some degree. Get off on the social media fights and things like that. But after a while, you're just kind of sick of it. It's like, man, it's like there's this whole group of people who think you're a fucking Nazi, a whole group of people who think you're like a godless fucking commie. And sure, the second group's right. But the point is that after a while, you're like, it is like Sarah Silverman said it. And I've been making this comparison for years now. It's a marriage where two people hate each other. Now, by the way, I'm not a big believer in divorce in terms of marriages, particularly those where they have children. Now, I'm not saying there's no situation where a divorce is justified, but in general, I think if you have children, divorce should be looked down on. And it shouldn't just be a like, eh, we're throwing our hands up and getting divorced. I think it's bad for kids and all of that stuff. If you don't have kids, I guess I really don't have such strong feelings about it. But if you hate each other, like you hate each other and you think the other one is responsible for everything wrong in your life and they feel the same, the answer there is obvious. The answer is a divorce and hopefully the most peaceful divorce possible. That it's like, listen, hey, we all didn't hate each other once. Remember that? All right. Why do we really hate each other now? Let's go our separate ways. If you're so convinced that the fucking not having vaccine passports and all this shit is going to lead to your death, well, then they don't believe you. They don't agree with you. Let's go see if that's the case. Let's try it that way. You know, the most common objection that I get to this is that secession can end in violence and that there could theoretically be a war that breaks out between the countries after they've seceded. It That certainly could happen. And that would be very, very bad. That'd be worst case scenario, right? So I will grant that worst case scenario is a non-peaceful breakup. Something like what we saw. Like the only time we ever had a civil war, a hot civil war in this country, was because one part of the country tried to secede. Now, the slavery thing aside, however you feel about that, that is what happened the last time a big chunk of the country tried to secede. And to skip over that, you know, the South was very much trying to protect slavery. The North couldn't give two shits about abolishing slavery, at least at the time. That's what Lincoln stated, and he also enslaved a whole bunch of people to go fight that war. But all of that aside. But just saying, there's also lots of examples of secession not going that way. I'm saying that I think that I think the best case scenario, quite possibly, is a peaceful secession. Peaceful dissolution of the federal government of the United States of America. Like Sarah Silverman said, let it be two countries. Maybe it could be 50. I mean, we got 50 that are already have borders, already
kind of nifty.
There you go, Rob. Oh, man. Get the hell out of here. And that was the moment Rob was fired, ladies and gentlemen. All right, guys, let's take a second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is IP Vanish. Very happy to have them back on the show. IP Vanish has been a longtime sponsor of ours. Great to have them back with us. Let me tell you about IP Vanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, the easiest way to protect yourself is with an IPVanish VPN. Rated 4.5 out of 5 on Trustpilot, IPVanish provides an encrypted connection for all of your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, and even hackers from intercepting your data. You can keep financial details, personal information, and online activity safe from threats with IPVanish. Get started with this limited time offer and save 50% off the monthly and annual subscriptions by going to ipvanish.com/problem. One more time, that's ipvanish.com/problem, all lowercase. It's really important today to protect your online privacy. It's only going to become more and more important. I highly recommend you check this out, ipvanish.com/problem. All right, let's get back into the show. But there's no, just saying that there's no reason why a crumbling empire dissolving has to be violent. And of course, we have one huge example in the 20th century, in the latter part of the 20th century, so not even that far, in the part of the 20th century that you can reach out and touch, right? In the last 10 years of it, or 11 years of it, and that's the Soviet Union. They split up, and they just split into a bunch of different countries. There's also lots of different examples, or Yugoslavia, and lots of different examples of places where they had secession and it was fine. They didn't go to war. They didn't have to. And one of the things that I really appreciated about Sarah Silverman's clip there was she wasn't just saying we should break up. She was saying we should do it peacefully. She was saying, and then you can have your country over there and we have our country over here. And so what's so bad about that? And the thing is that, look, I really am in which Scott Horton was talking about this at Freedom Fest, but I do agree with him, at least on some level, that in my heart, I am a universalist with libertarianism. Like, I want freedom everywhere, and I think freedom everywhere could work. I don't I'm not somebody who's believes only in the right Western civilized country with the right racial makeup and religious makeup can libertarianism work. Libertarianism was fucking, to at least some degree, I mean, maybe you wouldn't call it exactly libertarianism, but anarcho-capitalism was working in fucking Somalia. And now, maybe not working by first world standards, but it raised the standard of living at the highest rate of any sub-Saharan African country when they didn't have a government. And of course, this isn't because they were committed to libertarian philosophy. It's just because after the fucking communist regime fell, the battling warlords, none of them had enough power to take over the government. And so they essentially just didn't have a government, which resulted in de facto trade And okay, so we'll just trade with each other. And they were fucking, they were booming. They were doing the best they've ever been doing until George W. Bush started a war there and ruined the whole goddamn thing. But leaving that aside, I do believe in libertarianism for everyone, you know? But then there's also practicality, which dictates that that's probably not going to happen everywhere. And we'd like to at least get closer to it wherever we can. And so in some ways, I think the pitch to left-wingers is like, hey, if you break this thing up, you guys can have so much of what you want. Like, oh, you think you don't have the votes for like Medicare for All or something like that? Well, guess what? If the red part of the country's gone, you got all the fucking votes in the world you need. Go have it.
So I agree with you, and I love the idea of breaking this thing up. I think that brings more freedom, that allows for more localized government. It gets away from all these implementations of the Fed. And Sarah, what's nice here is that she feels so passionate about the COVID thing, and she can't see the other perspective. She goes, maybe we just shouldn't exist, because I don't even understand where you guys are coming from. We should be separated. The reality is, though, it would be a tremendous loss for them, because they need forceful control of the entire population in order to socialize the agenda that they're looking for, and in order for our currency to be used in the way it is, and for order to continue to inflate, which will not work over the long term. But in the short term, they require the giant mass and to try and force it upon us. So yes, it's actually a giant loss.
So remember before when I said the pitch to them is that they now have the votes for Medicare for All? That part is the part we're not going to tell them.
My bad.
But this part is the pitch to us, that it can't possibly work.
No, and then, at least then the freedom ideas win, where all of a sudden the conservative territories are doing well. They're creating economic opportunity. And the liberals have to realize that they were wrong idiots all along.
Look, I was saying this when I was on a Tim Pool show, I think the first time that I was on, maybe the second time, one of the first two times I was on, I was saying that, like, look, some form of libertarianism, whatever it may be, is the only antidote to the national suicide. Like, there's only the only way to solve this problem is some form of decentralization and reducing power in the federal government. Because if you don't have that, it's just so obvious once you see it from that perspective. This is what's happening. The more and more power that Washington gets, the more and more the cultures are going to be at each other's throats to wield that power. And whether it's a tremendous reduction in the size of the federal government or mass decentralization, which are really two different ways to describe the same thing, right? Some type of federalism or secession. That's what we need to solve this problem. And I will say that I find it encouraging for a progressive Hollywood type like Sarah Silverman to be reaching this conclusion. And I thought it was interesting that she starts off the video by saying, I had this thought, and maybe it's a bad thought. And she's like, well, maybe not, because her instinct is already to think this must be a bad thought.
Because it's pro-freedom. It allows them to do what they want to do. And that's not what a good leftist does.
But I will say that oftentimes, and I'm not talking about like the more hardcore ideological leftists, but the kind of passive left-wingers who
Why can't everybody be friends and get along?
Yeah, but that person doesn't think of it that way. They don't think of it that way as I need to rule over other people. Don't get me wrong. That is baked into the ideological cake somewhere. But that's not like what's at the front of their mind. And so if you think about it this way,
it's somewhat there in the call for, hey, this is my idea of what human dignity is. And so I need to impose this on anyone who isn't intelligent enough to see that, of course, we have to provide for the poor. Of course, we have to provide health care. So they do kind of they weasel out of the, hey, I got to rule over these people to enforce this thing that I see as being right. But it's because they're so obsessed with the idea that they are 100% right and anyone who disagrees is evil.
Yes.
So it is kind of cooked in the.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's baked in. But it's not at the front of their minds that we won't let someone else. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like they don't.
I mean, that's
say
the cost that they're ignoring. It's not the thrill of, hey, I get to rule over people.
It is for some, but it's not for, I would say, the majority of them. And they're you know, like I said before, I am a universalist when it comes to libertarian morality. I think that if you kill someone in fucking Nigeria or in fucking Japan or in Norway or in Cleveland, it's the same morally. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's evil in all of those places morally, and that people ought to have self-ownership. I believe this on a global level. However, practicality demands that we recognize that we're not going to achieve libertarianism by having some fucking world revolution where some libertarian leader gets up and declares everybody free, which, by the way, in that case, then the praxis is the antithesis of libertarianism, right? Because the whole idea of libertarianism is this kind of individualist natural rights philosophy. So who the hell is this one person to tell the whole fucking globe that they're free? It's this weird contradiction that the way it's actually going to work, if it is ever to work, is on some type of bottom-up movement. And then we have to be practical about where that's going to come from and how that's going to work. And the first step to that is to take some type of an axe to state power. And in this case, the United States federal government being the most powerful government in the world, that seems like a good place to start. Take that thing down a few pegs and then let other people try their own things. And I do, you know, the difference, right? And this is, I think, what we were talking about before when you were saying how, well, this won't work without them having the world reserve currency and having and they need the country in order to do that. I believe that our ideas can work without force, which our ideas are basically just that there shouldn't be force there. But I believe that our ideas will work in a marketplace. So the closer to a marketplace we get, the better off we are to get what we want. That's what I think. And that's not by forcing other people. That's just by voluntarily, you know, like people being like, hey, yeah, sure is better to be rich than poor. And so, okay, they're going to like these things that people who are more free are doing.
What we need is COVID terrorists who go into these liberal cities and they sneeze on people like Sarah and they get so fed up, they finally go, that's it. They're not allowed in here and I'm not going over there.
I'm not going to call for terrorism publicly, but that's an interesting take. That is a hell of an interesting
sneeze
take,
on your
Rob.
Liberal friends.
So it turns them conservative. A conservative is really just a liberal who got sneezed on.
That's all
when
it
you
takes.
Think about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's, you know, like for Sarah Silverman saying, well, if you come to our country, you're going to have to get vaccinated before you come here. It's like, yeah, I don't know. You got to get vaccinated before you fucking live here, basically, these days anyway. So how much of a difference is that? And look, I say this as someone who has always, my entire life, lived in a place that will be not the country I want to live in if the country splits up. I'm saying I'm willing to move for us to do this. And I'm not even on, like, I'm not on the conservative side per se. It's just that under current conditions on what we're splitting up for, if there's one side who wants vaccine passports and another side who wants to not have vaccine passports, I'll take their side. I'll take their side on this one. That's another thing, too, that, you know, something that we've talked about a lot on this show, but that you have to, like, libertarians have to come to terms with this idea that we can say we're not right or left, which I believe technically is true. Like, I don't think libertarianism, I do think Walter Block is right, and that the philosophy is a third leg on the stool. It is different in kind from left-wing or right-wing ideology. We're not liberals or conservatives. We're just not. We're radicals. I mean, like, conservative is like the most opposite thing to describe what someone who individualist and natural rights and freedom is. There's nothing conservative about that. We're not trying to hold on to something in the past. It's a brand new idea in the larger scope of human history. And it's a radical idea, especially when, like, what exactly are we conserving? I mean, like, Woodrow Wilson was a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, there aren't even any Widrows around anymore.
Yeah, really?
That's how much the world has changed.
The name's gone out. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not trying to conserve some tradition of freedom. I mean, I'm sure there are some traditions everyone wants to conserve, but what we're trying to do is push towards something new and beautiful, and we're certainly not left-wing. I mean, we completely reject egalitarianism and basically the whole fundamental doctrine of them. So we're not left or right. And the Republicans and the Democrats are just two corrupt political parties. So of course we should hate both of them. It's not that. However, there's no reason that because you say I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat, that has to mean that I think the Republicans and the Democrats are exactly equally bad at all times. Right? Like, that's almost a weird egalitarian mindset of its own. That if you were scoring the Democrats and the Republicans on how terrible they are, you know, they each have to get the exact same score all the time. That's stupid. Why would that be the case? And the truth is that about 90% of the Republican Party is just terrible. And I think just about 100% or 99.9% of the Democrats are terrible. But all the silver linings, all the like decent people in the two-party system are pretty much all in the Republican Party. And the Republicans right now are the ones who are pushing back against the fucking COVID insanity. So as of right now, it makes a lot of sense to have a preference toward red America than blue America. And by the way, in 2003, 2004, 2005, it made a lot of sense to have a preference toward blue America than red America. Because they were all fucking had neocon fucking war fever. And, you know,
and love putting people in jail for drugs.
Sure did. But, you know, it is. It's pretty amazing as someone my age to see that really changed. And that, you know, the idea that Republican voters would loathe neoconservatism is really remarkable. And there's something there that is a real case for optimism. I mean, like, dude, I'll just say this. The idea that George W. Bush would be despised by the Republican base, that Mitt Romney would be despised by the Republican base, Dick Cheney and all these guys, like, that they hate them, is, for younger people who listen to the show, it would be as if in 15 years, Democratic voters despised woke shit. Like, it'd be on par. It was the ideology that was completely dominant amongst that party that those people voted for. They now hate it. So I'm just saying, if it happened once, that could happen again. There's my white pill. And if that happens, I will give the Democrats credit for that.
What could happen is you take enough losses. Like, if you go deep enough with the woke stuff and it just turns out to have as many losses as those wars and cost as much as those wars, people will turn on it.
It's tougher for your brother to die in a woke fight
right.
than in a war in Iraq. But I'm just saying these things can happen. And sometimes a big mistake that a lot of people make is that they get too ahead of themselves with what is destiny. And if they see something trending in a certain direction, they go, well, then this is the end of it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's like political parties aren't destiny. Demographics aren't destiny. Like, none of this shit is guaranteed. You have no idea how it's going to go.
Yeah,
in the
who
future.
Predicted Trump or Biden?
Yeah. No, but that's right. I mean, there was all of the conventional wisdom when Donald Trump said that to Jeb Bush in South Carolina that your brother lied us into war was that he just blew it. And I mean, there was reason to believe that. Like, South Carolina, the Republican primary, you're going to say the war that they cheered on, that they shamed everybody for not supporting, you're going to tell them that was all based on a lie? But they were just ready to hear it at that point. Anyway, by the way, I'm not defending politicians from either side. I'm just saying it gets to a certain point where it's like, would you rather live in a real progressive area or a very conservative area during the last 18 months? I'm talking about the people, not them. And by the way, this is to Sarah Silverman's point. It's like, if you'd rather live in that progressive area as a libertarian, how can I fucking blame you? That's another thing that's really like, I've woken up to over the last 18 months. You know, I remember over the last maybe, shit, what has it been now? I don't know, 4 years or something like that. I've talked about on this show how important I realized culture was and how it was like my one of my big like short-sighted aspects of my analysis of all this shit for a long time was that, you know, government policies and that you're like, oh no, that culture really matters. It's very important. And part of the reason why the left is winning at everything is because they get that. And they get that. It's not just about taking over the Senate, you know? It's about taking over academia and Hollywood and the media and all of these things. But man, I mean, that was kind of in, to some degree, an abstraction. But over the last 18 months, I mean, you realize that. You realize how much the culture matters. And it's not just as simple as the government policies dictate X, Y, and Z. I mean, that's a huge part of it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the government has a lockdown. There's a fucking lockdown. And that's it. But you also realize that, say, from being in a, I don't know, like a nice town that's very heavily leans red in, say, New Jersey, to being in, say, the Upper West Side of Manhattan, which is, you know, progressive ground zero. It's like the rules aren't even that much different. They're both blue states. Both the governors basically have the same thing. I mean, it's the vaccine passport is a little bit different out here now, but I'm just saying, like, even before the vaccine passport went in, the difference is the looks you're going to get when you take your mask off. The difference is what these stores are saying, because it's like kind of the dominant cultural winds. So, you know, that makes all the difference in the world. And at a certain point, as a libertarian, I have to look at, say, you know, these progressives who want a playground where the kids are wearing masks and want a store where the guy demands masks before you go in and wants kind of all of these things and say, if you want to live that way, man, go fucking live that way. And if you can say, I want to live that way, but I respect if you want to go over to this other town and live a different way, shit, that's a compromise I'm willing to take. I mean, what's better than that? Yes, I would rather everyone agree with me and want to be free. But I can't force other people to want to be free. That is a libertarian contradiction. You can't force that out of other people. So if you guys want to live this way, if you literally want to mask up your children, I'll be honest, I'm going to judge the shit out of you for it. I don't understand it. I start to feel like we are not the same species. But if you're offering the deal, I am not even hesitating to take it.
On the same note, if they COVID passport us now, so if they keep their kids masked up and with all this training for their whole lives, can we exclude them for, like, if they're just too whiny? If they're just two of what we don't like?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's a deal.
I feel like that's fair trade.
All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is One Farm. One Farm produces plant-based products with organic ingredients sourced directly from the farmers that grew them, including CBD products made with organic hemp grown in Boulder, Colorado. The CBD is full spectrum, so it contains THC as well as other cannabinoids. All products are third-party tested. They combine high-quality CBD with other powerful botanicals like turmeric and chaga, maca, to make some of the most effective products on the market. Turmeric relief cream with 425 milligrams of CBD works great for joint pain and sore muscles. Daily 8 Mushroom Immunity Boost gives any coffee a nice mocha flavor while supporting your immune system. The CBD also helps smooth out the caffeine jitters. Their CBD oils come in cinnamon, peppermint, natural, and lemon. They make the flavoring in-house, and they have some of the best tasting CBD on the market. They also have CBD available in soft gels. So go to onefarm.com, and this month only, if you use the promo code POTP, you're going to get 30% off all orders. That's onefarm.com, and that's onefarm.com, promo code POTP for 30% off this month only. Go take advantage of this great offer from a great company. All right, let's get back into the show. I was, by the way, is why in my I had my daughter out at the playground earlier today on the Upper West Side. So that's where that came from. And it's I say majority of kids are not masked up, but there are some.
Mm-hmm.
There's like I'd say 15-20% of these parents have their. I'm talking. My daughter's under three. I'm talking little kids masked up in a playground. And you know who the parents are because they got masks on too. And it's like, I just don't know. It's funny because I literally came back from that and then saw this Sarah Silverman video. And maybe that's partly why it hit me so hard. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like sharing a country with these people. I don't know what I share with these people. That they'd put a mask on their fucking three-year-old as they run around. It's not just like that. I think that's a horrible thing to do to little kids, and that I think this is crazy and madness, and that you're pushing your own neuroticism on a three-year-old. It's that it's not even. There's no scientific argument for it. There is no scientific argument for a three-year-old outdoors to be wearing a mask. None. And I mean, there's a more scientific argument to never let them cross the street or walk downstairs or as an adult drive a car. Never. There's like a better argument for all of that protecting you. It's like we've reached these levels of it's almost I view it in the same way as someone who has like severe OCD saying like I need to turn the lights on and off five times before I leave a room or I'm gonna
teach that to my kids.
Well, that one's true. That's true.
I'm where the door on the way out. The door three times fourth after you go down the black and come block and come back.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm going to teach to my kids.
Yeah,
I got some other ones, but I'm just saying you like if you want the universe to stay in order.
When Rob says my kids, I mean he has possession of them right now. Like they were, you're not biological.
I'm just saying you want to keep the universe in order, don't you, Dave?
No, that's true. That is a good point. All right.
It will change directions. That's what will happen. It'll start twirling the other way.
All right. Let's switch gears here because I wanted to talk about this General Milley situation.
He doesn't look like a Milley. He acts like a Milley, but doesn't look like a Milley.
He was being a real Milley on the phone with China, I'll tell you that. And that's what China was saying back to him.
Just being a big old Milley?
He's going, oh, you be a big Milley. Go support Trump. So this is an interesting story on several different levels, and this comes out of Bob Woodward's new book that's coming out. And God damn it, I'll be damned if Bob Woodward doesn't know how to sell a book. He always releases a few excerpts where you're like, ah, shit, I gotta get
what
Woodward's
are his other
new
books.
Book.
I'm not familiar with.
He writes books on presidents like all the time. He wrote a book on Bush, book on Trump. Probably one on Obama. It's always like he gets the fucking juice. Like he gets real details. That's not to say that everything he writes is true, but he does kind of get a lot of really interesting information out of what's going on behind the scenes after the fact in presidential administrations. And what he revealed in his book, or at least, again, let me preface this the right way, because I was on the other day, I was on Kennedy, and I guess I was guilty of this, and I'm usually pretty precise, but I was guilty of speaking as if this was true. And then she kind of hit me for that, and then she started yelling with the other guy, and I just kind of sat it out, because I've been in too many fights on Kennedy recently. I was like, I just don't feel like fighting right now. And I was also doing it remote from this truck, which is fucking kind of annoying. Anyway.
You have a truck now?
No, it's not my truck. Fox News has like it's not a big van that you like record.
And
in
they
the
stuff
van.
You in the van?
Yeah, they got like a little studio
in
the
van. They got a bucket
for
peeing in?
Yeah, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. They won't let me come to the studio to do Kennedy, but they will for Gutfeld. I don't understand.
Why is that not a vax thing? Or
it might be. It might be a vax passport thing. I don't know. That may be why. Because I was like, can I just come in the studio to do this? And they were like, we're going to send you a van. And then I was like, maybe they just know that I'm not vaxxed.
Does the van show up right outside your house?
Yeah, very convenient.
That is pretty convenient.
Nah, but I'll take studio over. I like fucking anything face-to-face, I'll take over that. I'll travel to you if it means we could fucking talk face-to-face. It's just way better. Anyway, so Let me just, for people who don't know the story. So Milley is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And he basically, what they say in the book is that he had made multiple phone calls to his Chinese counterparts, basically going behind Trump's back and warning that Trump was erratic and that he was concerned that Trump was going to attack China with a preemptive strike. Said that he would do everything to stop him from doing this. And then the most controversial part is that he told the Chinese that if Trump launched a surprise attack, it wouldn't be a surprise attack, basically insinuating that he would give them warning if Trump were to launch an attack against China.
As a new member of the liberal media, this is proof of how bad of a president Trump was and how lucky we are that there was a support staff around him who can manage this crazy individual.
It is really something to see that that's how they play it. Because basically the liberal media's perspective is, thank God we don't have civilian control of the military. Because if we did, the guy they elected president might do some crazy shit.
He wasn't working without civilian control. He was in touch with Nancy Pelosi. So most important person they were in touch. They coordinated and they made sure that this crazy individual was in check. We're lucky. We're lucky we don't have democracy where the elected official gets to make decisions.
That sure is true. Brian, would you mind popping one of those for me? So there's a few things that are really interesting about this story. Now, let me just, to the point I was making before, and this is what Leslie Marshall hit me with the other day, and this is fair, is that she basically responded with, hey, we're acting like this is true. This is just in some guy's book, and he deserves what you're accusing him of is basically like, you know, a conspiracy to commit treason. So he deserves like a trial and all this shit. And by the way, I agree with her. I don't know for sure that because this was in Bob Woodward's book, this is true. And, you know, again, with these things on cable news, you have very limited time to get this. And this was in my talking points that I sent in to Kennedy, but I didn't say this on air. So I'll grant her this is true. And usually I'm good at maximizing, you know, the economy of that time. But the reason why I'm assuming this is true, which I don't know for sure, is that there's no denial. And that's, thank you, brother. And that's, you know, so I don't know if you saw, but the Pentagon spokesman, this is how they fucking respond to this shit, is he goes, there's absolutely nothing abnormal about Pentagon officials talking to foreign leaders. And you're like, yeah. No. The complaint isn't that he talked to them. The complaint is what he said and how he was going behind the commander-in-chief's back, okay?
Also, he was wrong because Trump clearly had no inclinations of a nuclear war.
That's the thing. So that's such an important point to make, that it's like if you're saying you thought Donald Trump was on his way out, what, just to stay in power, gonna start a nuclear war with a heavily nuclear armed country? That's just, I don't know, I'm pissed. I'm pissed and I'm Trump. So I'm gonna fucking nuke China. Well, the obvious follow-up question to that, if you were talking to someone, would be, why did you think that? Like, and specifically, I don't want some general, like, I don't know, the guy seems nuts. Figured he'd nuke China. Like, no. Like, what was said? And there is something there. Look, I'm not trying to be a fucking partisan on this because Trump is the most bizarre human being in the world. And he's certainly not, like, in my opinion, like an upstanding moral or ethical person. And there is something, right, at the beginning when you hear this that you're like, look, it's one thing for a 20-year-old college chick to believe that Trump is going to nuke China. But for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, that's kind of nuts to hear him say he really believes.
But he's as woke with the 20-year-old, so he's got all those emotions.
So that's the other thing. Like, you're like, how deep into this fucking Democrat machine, like, mindset is this guy? And I have trouble believing that he's really that far into it. I mean, my guess is that this is all just kind of like a cover.
Deep state.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Nancy Pelosi CIA wing of the government. That's all it is.
Well, that's what I think. And my guess would be that this is completely unrelated and he was undermining Trump in some other way and there's something more to this than that. Because on top of that, right, you'd have to acknowledge he was wrong. I mean, not, he was wrong.
Like extremely wrong.
Extremely wrong.
Like in a way that makes him look like the crazy person.
Yes.
And that he did something really stupid. And how can that guy continue to be in this job?
And as Rand Paul said, I mean, if this is true, then he should not only be fired, he should be court-martialed and, like, tried. And I mean, I don't know exactly what the charges would be here. Certainly, like, some type of insubordination. But there is, like, if you're saying we were going to war with China and you told China you would let them know, that is by definition treason. Like, literally, that's treason. That would be giving material information to the enemy in wartime, treason. And the punishment for treason is a slap on the wrist. Hard one. One ruler. There you go. I don't know what that noise was. That's not what a ruler
the
makes.
Old
that
slap
was
more bracelets.
Like that, yeah, that was. Yeah, remember those?
Those were fun.
Yeah, they were cool. So that's, you know, so there's that in the mix. And he's not denying it. And there's something, if you were accused of like a conspiracy to commit treason and it's not true, you'd think there'd be a whole bunch of people going, hey, that's not true. This didn't happen. But instead, the Pentagon spokesman is saying, it's totally normal to have conversations with China. And you're like, yeah, that's not really addressing what our concern is. It's not that you had a conversation with China. It's the whole conspiracy to commit treason, undermining the commander-in-chief thing. All right, guys, let's take a quick moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Sheath Underwear. Sheath makes the most comfortable boxer briefs I've ever worn in my life. If you're sick of boxers that are too loose or briefs that are too tight, Sheath is for you. Here's what makes Sheath unique. The stretchy fabric is made out of a moisture-wicking technology. They feel super soft. They keep everything cool and comfortable right in place. Sheath is particularly useful for staying cool during these hot summer months or while working out. It's been a hot summer this year, but I've been good because I've been in my Sheath underwear the whole time. The most unique thing about Sheath underwear is they have these dual pouches. They keep your man parts separated, which prevents them from sticking together. I was a little skeptical about it, but I am sold. It's a game changer. And if you're not interested in that, it doesn't matter. You don't have to use the dual pouches. You can just wear them like regular underwear, and they're the most comfortable pair of boxer briefs you've ever put on your body. Plus, they have brand new materials like bamboo and mesh for even more cooling comfort. Go to sheathunderwear.com, get the most comfortable underwear you'll ever own, and if you use the promo code PROBLEM20, you'll also get 20% off your order. I'm telling you guys, this is the only underwear that I own. It's all I wear. I love Sheath underwear. Sheathunderwear.com, promo code PROBLEM20 for 20% off your order. All right, let's get back into the show. There have been several times over the last 4 years where I've talked about the undermining of Donald Trump. And part of what's so, you know, revealing about the whole thing is that as the entire political media class is screeching about our democratic norms, you have the most undermined president, certainly of my lifetime. I don't know when the comparison, I think since Kennedy, perhaps Nixon. But certainly there's no one except Kennedy or Nixon that could compare to Donald Trump, where, I mean, the man was literally framed for treason by his own deep state and political rivals. And then on top of that, just at every turn, I mean, constant waves of unelected bureaucrats leaking information to the corporate press, you know, military people lying to him about the number of troops in Syria as he was trying to withdraw them. And I would kind of have these, I don't know. I would have some feeling of like, you know, hey, that is the commander in chief, and excuse me, you know, your role as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is to say, sir, yes, sir, salute, and go do exactly what he told you to do. That's what you do. you know? Mr. Like,
and pretend,
you know,
like the order came from a lady, so you gotta respect it.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever you gotta do in your mind to make it work.
Yeah.
Pretend it came from a dude who's really a female.
Whatever
you gotta do.
Whatever makes you come. You know what I'm saying? But so that, so I would always have these feelings, but I will say that a big part of that is because it was always the warfare state trying to undermine the idea of threatening the warfare state. And that it was always like, okay, well, Donald Trump ran on this, like, hey, let's have detente with Russia and let's make a deal with them and get our troops out of Syria and out of the Middle East and end the war in Afghanistan. And then that's always what they were trying to undermine. So you're like, you know, so part of what I'm saying here is that I am, in a way, even though I believe what I'm saying, maybe not being completely honest, because, you know, when someone's trying to end the war and then some, the you know, deep state's undermining him, I'm like, hey, motherfucker, procedure. Like, you don't have a right to do that. Now, it's easy to say that because they're also shouting, he's undermining our democratic norms. And you're like, no, motherfucker, he is the democratic norm. He won at this game and you're undermining him. But the truth is, and I don't really care about democratic norms, and I don't really care about procedure, and I don't really care about our institutions. What I care about is liberty and peace and prosperity. And so if there was a president who was trying to start a war, and there was some unelected deep state fucking guy who was gonna, like, prevent him from starting that war, I'd side with that guy. In the same way that, like, you know, I don't know, like, if... like, I'm sure any of us, like, if there was, like, an elected body, you know, it's, let's say, like, the House and the Senate and the President all agreed we were reinstituting slavery. And then one guy who's completely unelected, some bureaucrat, just starts fucking it all up so they can't reinstitute slavery, then I'm for that guy. I don't know. I don't care what the fucking procedure is.
He's walking around painting people white.
Yeah. That's just...
just ruining the whole thing.
Can't enslave these people. A bunch of white folks right here. But you know what I'm saying, right? So it's about the fucking moral, you know, like, the morality of the... So it's not even that I'd have a problem with some... like, if Trump was that crazy that he was about to nuke China and they stopped him from doing it, I'd support them stopping him from doing that. Holy shit, he's going to get us all killed. But the thing that's, you know, when you look at this situation, there's no way Trump was about to nuke China. I mean, the only thing you could say for the guy is that he didn't start a new war in his 4 years there. So you're telling me on his way out the door he was about to do this and then he could have but didn't? So the question for Milley, which I hope they ask him because he's going to be testifying in front of Congress soon, is what the hell made you think this? And what the hell, like, how the hell did you think you had the authority to do this?
Well, it's if you had been in the White House during that time and you understood how unpredictable Trump was and the violence of that day and the insurrection that he sent people to overtake the Capitol and make sure they didn't have to leave his post, I thought the only responsible thing that we could possibly do was at least notify other people that there would be no war today and that I was securing our nuclear arsenal. I'll write the speech for you. I'm for hire.
Yeah, you really would. By the way, you'd be better than most of the bad guys. I mean, dude, if we keep growing this show the way we're growing it, I'm really concerned that one of the bad guys is going to grab you, because every now and then you do this bit, and I'm always like, that would be better. That would be way better than what they're getting. But that really is like what they'll come up with, is almost like something they're like, well, I mean, he led a group of people to fart on Pelosi's desk, so how do I know he wouldn't nuke China? I mean, they're basically on the same moral level, right? Anyway, it's a fucking weird... That was a weird goddamn story. It's one of those stories where you're like, I bet this is true, but I also bet there's more there.
Well, here's the more there. He had a conversation with Nancy Pelosi beforehand. It would seem that this would fall into the general narrative of trying to present Trump as being unable to serve in office and be like almost creating just that track record of look how much of a lunatic this guy is.
Yeah.
But then it's also just strange that the woke general guy, as the army becomes a little bit more woke, he's the guy up there with these talking points. He's the one who's up there talking about reading communist works, is also the guy who's calling. That just strikes me like, all right, whatever the CIA thing is between Nancy Pelosi and the different parties, he's part of that team.
Yeah, you know, I was talking about this on Kennedy the other day too, and it's something that's really It's something about the moment that we're in right now in this country. And I think we should be able to understand this better than most. Like people who really get, you know, kind of the way government works and understand economics and a lot of this stuff. That there really is something, and this is one of the most troubling signs of the country, that it's a positive and a negative, right? But it's like the trust in institutions has evaporated. So no one trusts any of these institutions. Now, that's a positive in the sense that these institutions are evil and not to be trusted. But it's a negative in the sense that this can lead to some wild shit, which can get violent and can be very destructive. But the truth is that you have Donald Trump so enraged the left half of the country that it's like, yeah, whoever it takes to undermine him, whatever that is, we're going to be for that. And by the way, this is not just true of the left. It's true of the right, too. I mean, look, if Donald Trump had somehow, let's say, been able to just say, no, this election was bullshit, I'm staying in here, there's a lot of Trump supporters who would have supported that. And these are people who would have called themselves constitutional conservatives, you know, just 2 days earlier. And if Donald Trump just suspended the Constitution and was like, I'm not leaving because the election was stolen. And you're like, do you really have proof that it was stolen? I mean, it sure as fuck seems shady, but like, do you have proof that it was stolen? He was like, no, but we're just shutting it down. A lot of people would have supported him too. And so much of that is because they don't trust any of this. And so they're just like, look, whatever gets our side to win, that like, we're playing a fucking might makes right game now. We're playing a we want power because we are terrified of what the other side will do if they have power. And a lot of this is because it's just been so revealed that these institutions are all bullshit. And so you can't trust any of them. And so you better not be on the losing side. Now, the big fucking joke on everybody is that your side is also against you. That your side isn't actually your side. That's what people got to fucking wake up to. It's like, hey, Trump supporter, Trump doesn't give a fuck about you. And Biden supporter, Biden doesn't even understand that you exist. He doesn't know what day it is. That's the thing that you got to understand.
He just walks around the White House going, I like ice cream.
Yeah, but he does. He loves that ice cream. He really does. It's unbelievable. I've never seen a man his age put ice cream away the way
he
does.
I think they tell him, like, listen, if you can just get through that teleprompter, we'll give you some ice cream.
She goes, Biden,
yeah.
I'm going to need you to read most of these words. They don't have to be in order, but you got to read them, and you'll get some ice cream. She's like, well, gee, willikers. All right, I'll try. But isn't there something there, right, that it's like, people are so, they're not even clinging to their old stated ideological views of whatever. It's like, no, dude, we don't trust any of this shit. We just want our side to win. And you see this more and more. And I think we should understand why. We should understand it's because all of these institutions have failed everybody. And so why the hell would anyone have any trust in them? Why would you? There's Joy Reid said, recently on our show, that she is a funny clip that was up online. I think she was talking about Nicki Minaj and all that stuff. And she was like, or maybe you could find that. Actually, Brian, if you could look for it, because it'd be interesting just to hear it right from her. I should have sent you this clip before. But if you just Google or Twitter search Joy Reid, like not at her, but just search the words, probably be one of the first videos. Go to like the top videos, and I bet we'll find this one. Because what she said, I thought, in a weird way, without her trying to, kind of summed it up. How tribal this thing has gotten, and how much you don't trust the other side. So how the fuck would you trust procedure or any of these things if the other side is always the bad guys?
And people like Nicki Minaj, I have to say this. You have a platform, sister, that is 22 million followers. Okay, I have 2 million followers. You have 22 million followers on Twitter. For you to use your platform to encourage our community to not protect themselves and save their lives My God, sister, you could do better than that. You got that platform. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that you got that, that people listen to you. And they listen to you more than they listen to me. For you to use your platform to put people in the position of dying from a disease they don't have to die from. Oh, my God. As a fan, as a hip-hop fan, as somebody who was your fan, I'm so sad that you did that. So sad that you did that, sister. Oh, my God.
So Joy Reid basically says that when Donald Trump was in, it was completely reasonable to be hesitant about the vaccine. But now it's insane to be hesitant about the vaccine.
That's great.
And it's just a really awesome moment where you're like, okay, but here, Joy, like, let me just take the next step for you. That's how the other side feels about Biden, right? Like the way you had no trust in them, they have no trust in you. And that's all it takes is just extend a little bit more. It's like, oh, I guess that's exactly how they feel.
It sounds like the left lacks empathy.
Well, that's it. But maybe we all, like, could use some more empathy or whatever. But, like, yeah, no, you motherfuckers don't have a monopoly on it.
I understand them. I just think they're dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I empathize with what it's like to be so stupid. But you know what I mean? Like, it's all it takes is to understand that it's, you know, it's kind of the same thing I was saying in the last episode, where you have these fucking, like, these war hawk type mentalities in America where they're like, well, the Muslims hit us, so we got to go fucking hit them back. And you're like, right. That's how they feel too. So just like understand that you have so much in common. It's just how you're feeling right now is how they feel too. By the way, and last thing I'll say, and we can wrap up on this, but the Nicki Minaj thing was really fucking great. Like, not even that like whatever she said about people should have the choice whether or not they get the vaccine. What's great about it is like, look, obviously Nicki Minaj is not who anyone should be getting their medical advice from.
I changed my vagina habits after listening to her.
Sure, absolutely. Rob's actually found a way to make them wet. But the point is, Rob was like, they're supposed to be wet. Anyway, that was her song, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I just bring bottles of lube now and I shower them beforehand. Put it up there like a super soaker.
Here's what I find so funny about it, right? And this is what I hope is revealing. Because by the way, we really need as many people in the black community on our side as we can get on this. Because they might be our last line of defense. They are vaccine hesitant, to say the least. And it's not, by the way, it's not even the hesitancy about the vaccine. It's the belief in your right to not be vaccinated and to not lose your basic freedoms. That's what's important, at least to me, the most important. But what's interesting is that Nicki Minaj, okay, look, it's easy for them to like look at her and be like, okay, she's a fucking clown and she doesn't even realize she's supporting racism. And they're basically like, whatever, this dummy Nicki Minaj, like this former hooker, you're really going to listen to her? But then you're like, oh, no, it was completely fine to listen to her when she was endorsing Biden. Then it was okay. Then we really wanted to hear what you had to say and come in here and you can come to the White House or whatever to this event and speak and all this shit. But whoa, what'd you say? You believe in freedom of choice with vaccines? Now you're getting bashed by all these same people. And that's something that I hope a lot of fucking people, I hope a lot of black people realize that that's how Democrats see you. It's like, oh, we, as long as you fucking say exactly what we tell you to say, then sure, you're great. Isn't this wonderful? I love that wet ass pussy song. It's great, you know? But as soon as you get out of fucking line, then you're right back to being like, ah, she's an ex-hooker. Who the fuck cares? Let's just be honest. She was always an ex-hooker. And who the fuck cares? But I do like what she said the most recent time. You know, I'm as guilty as they are. Because at first, when she's endorsing Biden, I'm like, you're really going to let this hooker tell you about Biden? But now I'm like, hooker's got a point. She does. So, all right. There you go. I'm part of the problem. That's our episode for today. We'll be back soon. Peace.